Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you so much for being our Father and delivering us from all evil that's coming upon this world. And Lord, even using the shakings to bring people into the kingdom. Amen. Okay, I'm going to talk about shakings coming. In this first revelation, it will shake the world. This was given to Lynn Johnson, 5:27-26. I am King Yeshua, wants you, my people, to know that all will erupt soon in Iran. President Trump is playing a waiting game with the radicalized left in the IRGC, for there are many factions vying for control. And Trump is ensuring that when the United States military strikes Iran, the United States will have very few casualties. Trump doesn't want American casualties, therefore the United States is intending on using all intelligence being fathered to ensure a few American casualties. And when the U.S. Military strikes, there will be no doubt that the IRGC in its radical form is no longer in existence. Once assured of the success of this campaign, Trump will have the military pull back to the general areas away from Iran. And very shortly after the United States military pulls back from Iran, then Israel will strike. First Damascus, Syria, a weapons depot, destroying it. And next, Israel will move against Iran's nuclear facilities along with their weapons depots. These strikes will effectively end Iran's nuclear program. And once this is concluded, then very shortly, look for the first event of my judgments. Again, these events of mine, King Yeshua, are not those of tribulation, which are far worse and for a much longer time frame. The California earthquake, which will shake the world, as this earthquake is massive in size and in effect. I am. King Yeshua tells you this again, so that you, my children, my believers, are warned to plan, to prepare for what is soon to occur. I am always warns ahead through my prophets and messengers. Listen to my voice. Listen to my words. Heed my warnings, for they are to help protect you and your families. Continue, my children, to come to me in prayer. Stay in my word. Stay focused. Stay calm. Come directly to me, King Yeshua, with your queries. I am will gladly answer you. I am loves you, my children. Your King Yeshua, the King of the Kings and Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Most High Commander of heaven, of heaven's hosts and armies, the Lion of Judah, the Prince of Peace. Some scriptures. Psalm 20 and 7. This is, most of these are from the New King James Version. Psalms 20 and 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember and trust in the name of the Lord our God. Amen. Isaiah 43 and 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Ezekiel 7 and 7. Doom has come to you, you who dwell in the land. The time has come, a day of trouble is near, and not of rejoicing in the mountains. And Isaiah 17 and 1. A prophecy against Damascus. See, Damascus will no longer be a city, but will become a heap of ruins. I agree. Isaiah 13 and 9. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. Isaiah 13 and 6. Wait for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. John 14 and 29. And now I told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. Lamentations 3 and 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. And here's another one given to Lynn Johnson on 5/9/26, and it's called Famine Will Extend Worldwide. I am King Yeshua would like my people to know that it is soon for the Iranian conflict to conclude. It will end as I am has stated. The United States will deploy missiles which will effectively end the IRGC regime's control over Iran. And then the United States will pull back their military, leaving destroyers, aircraft carriers, and such in the area. And shortly after the United States military is pulled back, Israel will strike Damascus, the other weapon depots in Syria, and then strike Iran's nuclear facilities and weapon depots. Israel will present the truth with proof that Iran fully intended to finish the building of nuclear bombs to destroy Israel. There will be the unusual outcry, but no one will lift a hand against Israel, for all of the surrounding Arab nations know the truth. They also know that they were not safe from Iran's nuclear attacks. Again, my children, this is your marker to know that you only have a short time to finish getting your food to prepare what is coming. My first event, Judgment Upon California. Do not put off procuring your food, your other necessities. Use cash as much as possible. And by going to different stores, do not discuss storing food with any others, as I am has already clearly stated, unless you have spoken directly with me. King Yeshua, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to find out who you are able to trust. Ensure that you get your answers from me before you talk with others. If you choose not to listen to me here, you and your family will suffer harm. People will become desperate quickly for food, any food that they are able to find. They do not wish to share, and they will harm others to get food. And those who have not done so recently or at all are to read Jeremiah, all of it. You will see what hunger does to people. There will be few people who you will be able to trust now. So be discreet and come to me, King Yeshua, to find out who you can safely share your food with. You must also accept my answer as final. I am alone, sees the hearts, minds, thoughts and intentions of all people. You do not. You must also understand that the famine will extend worldwide. It will not be located only in specific cities, areas, or countries. With the famine, there will be deaths and then pestilences due to these deaths. And I am will give you more specific detail on this soon. For now, your job is to prepare. Come directly to me with your questions, as I am will gladly answer you. My beloved children, stay in prayer to me. Stay in my word. Stay focused. Stay calm. Your King Yeshua, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Most High, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lion of Judah, the Prince of Peace. Some scriptures. Isaiah 17:1. The burden against Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. Luke 21:11. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful signs and great signs from heaven. Psalm 9:8. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the people in uprightness. Ecclesiastes 8:6. Because for every matter there is a time and a judgment, though the misery of man increases greatly. Psalm 76:8. You caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. Deuteronomy 8:6. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. Proverbs 15:11. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, so how much more the hearts of the sons of men? Psalm 112:5. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Deuteronomy 32:24. They shall be wasted with hunger, devoured by pestilence and bitter destruction. I will also send against them the teeth of beasts with the poison of serpents of the dust. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about the Golden Dome. This is a report by Mr. Poole on X. Golden Dome went fully operational on June the 14th, 2026. Some people are reporting it's still in the research stage, but that, I believe, is what they want everybody to believe, that it's not operational. So take that with a grain of salt. But here, it's not announced, it's not disclosed, it's activated. And this is by Limerick, 2-23-26. Mr. Poole, they tested it on Iran and it worked. Now it's live over your head right now. Golden Dome went fully operational on June the 14th, 2026. Not announced, not disclosed, activated. And while the media argued about the budgets and the timelines, the system was already in space. This is what their normal MO really is. They tell you about it, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, but while they're saying it's coming, it has already come. This they've done many times. because what can you do when it's already finished? You know, the best time to take things down, if you're the deep state, of course, is when they're in the process of coming up, right? Here's what they don't want you to know. 847 satellites, not the 14 that they told Congress about, 847 launched over 19 months disguised as Starlink batches. Every single one carries a directed energy capability, not tracking, destroying. Operation Epic Fury. So in other words, from space, they will have this ability to take down whatever, you know, with their directed energy weapons. So Operation Epic Fury, the Iran strike, wasn't just a military operation. It was a live test of Golden Dome's autonomous kill chain. The Pentagon confirmed Grok AI was integrated into classified military systems on February the 23rd. And what they didn't tell you during the Iran strike, Grok identified and tracked and neutralized all 47 Iranian retaliatory missiles in 0.4 seconds. So whatever they fired, didn't make any difference, right? No human input, no button pressed. The AI decided, the AI fired, and the AI won. 0.4 seconds. Before a human could blink, the threat was gone. Trump was shown the live demonstration on June the 12th at Space Force Command in Colorado Springs. Three screens. Real-time tracking of every nuclear-capable missile on Earth. Every submarine and every silo, every mobile launcher. He asked one question, can anything get through? The general's answer was, nothing, not anymore. What the media tells you, Golden Dome is years away and too expensive. And what actually happened, it's been operational for 8 days, which now would be probably 10 days. Okay. Since activation, China tested a hypersonic glide vehicle on June the 16th, destroyed at altitude before it completed its arc. Russia ran a simulated ICBM launch sequence on June the 18th. All 14 missiles tracked from ignition. North Korea attempted a satellite launch on June the 20th. It failed. It didn't fail. It was eliminated. Three nations tested America's shield in 6 days. Three nations failed. July the 4th, 250 years. Trump won't just celebrate independence. He will announce that America is now permanently untouchable. No missile, no drone, no hypersonic weapon, no nuclear warhead, nothing reaches American soil ever again. Well, let me say, I'm not sure I agree with that, but that's what they're convinced of, okay? And it does sound like it will be very good. Musk built the backbone. Space Force deployed it. Grok runs it. Trump ordered it. The world changed on June the 14th. They just haven't told you yet. Aegis 847-Live. Grok. Kill chain, 0.4 seconds. Dome gold, 0.614. So America is no longer defended. America is impenetrable. Well, you know, there's God has the final say on that. I'll just leave it at that. And this was June 22nd, 2026. Mr. Poole. Side effects from the COVID vaccine. This is pretty important. Pfizer has published the list of side effects from the COVID vaccine. I'll just read them to you one right after another. Number one was blood clot, acute kidney injury, acute flaccid myelitis, positive anti-sperm antibodies, brainstem embolism, brainstem thrombosis, cardiac arrest, hundreds of cases, much more than hundreds of cases, heart failure, cardiac ventricular thrombosis, cardiogenic shock, central nervous system vasculitis, neonatal death, deep vein thrombosis, brainstem encephalitis, hemorrhagic encephalitis, frontal lobe epilepsy, epileptic psychosis, facial paralysis, fetal distress syndrome, gastrointestinal amyloidosis, amyloidosis. There, that's better. Amyloidosis. Generalized tonic-clonic seizure. Hashimoto's encephalopathy. There we go. Hepatic vascular thrombosis. Shingles reactivation. Cancer reactivation. Turbo cancers, immune-mediated hepatitis, interstitial lung disease, jugular vein embolism, juvenile myoclonic epilepsy, liver damage, low birth weight, multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children, myocarditis, neonatal seizure, pancreatitis, pneumonia, stillbirth, tachycardia, temporal lobe epilepsy, testicular autoimmunity, thrombotic stroke, type 1 diabetes mellitus, neonatal vein thrombosis, vertebral artery thrombosis, pericarditis, sudden infant death syndrome. And at the bottom of the list, they said, all true or not, it's demonic that the deep state government forced this on us. Mm-hmm. So I can't give you that without telling you the cure. I'm not putting aside anything that the med beds can do. And I'm glad that they're there for people that don't believe the Lord. But the Lord is the one that has the pure cure, and it lasts, and it is perfect. So about the cure, I'm going to share with you seven simple steps to be immune from plagues and pestilences. With so many different plagues or pestilences spreading around by guess who, what can we do to protect ourselves and our families by God's power? Well, if you haven't already asked Jesus to give you his born-again spirit, so you are entitled to the benefits of the kingdom. and believe everything the Bible says. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Ezekiel 18:31, Cast away from you all your transgressions wherein that you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Ezekiel 36:26, A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I want to say, through all this that's coming, there's going to be a lot of people repent and come into the kingdom. And some people who think they are in the kingdom are going to repent and come into the kingdom. another one is, ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit for power over the curse, for faith, for boldness, and recognition of all of the New Testament for sure. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses born in both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The power of the Holy Spirit is awesome, and he will keep you. He will help you to believe things you wouldn't have believed, and give you more discernment in the direction of what's really going on. Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So you say, well, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but I don't want that tongues. Well, you just might not get it. Yeah. Because we get things on God's terms, not ours. Mark 16:17, And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. Mm-hmm. This is a thus saith the Lord. Demons can also be spirits of infirmity or sickness, as in the Bible. And Acts 19:2, And he said unto them, Did ye receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said unto him, Nay, we did not so much as hear whether the Holy Spirit was given. Well, it was given, and he never took it back. So, verse 6 goes on to say, And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues, and prophesied, like it or not. Best thing to do is humble yourself to the Word of God and don't believe all the hocus-pocus out there. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken wherein they were gathered together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. Yes, the Holy Spirit gives boldness and bold faith. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunken with wine wherein is riot, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, a commandment from God Almighty. And if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, get what they got in the book of Acts, and you'll do what they did. And of course, if you do what they did, you'll get what they got. And another one, repent and confess sin so you can have faith to be healed. 1 John 1:7-9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Look, this is not faction, denominationalism, and all these silly things. that have taken over Christianity. We have fellowship one with another. How can people with lesser knowledge gain more knowledge unless they are able to fellowship with people who have more knowledge and read the Word? So if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Be sure to confess your sins. Don't wait, you know, when you've done it. Confess your sins. 1 John 3:20 through 22. Because if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Hebrews 10:26-28. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins. Pay attention to that, you folks who have said it's all under the blood. They've lied to you. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment. Why does judgment come? Because it's not under the blood. And a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. A man that hath set at naught Moses' law dieth without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. This is a good reason to do what I said a few minutes ago. Confess your sins, right? James 5:16. Confess therefore your sins one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Another point here. Believe God's promises concerning sicknesses, plagues, diseases. 1 Peter 2:24. Who His own self bare our sins in His body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. You see, it's already settled in God's mind. It has to be settled in your mind. By whose stripes ye were healed. Don't walk by sight. You will have everything you see. You do. Walk by faith in the Word of God, and you will see it all disappear. Psalm 103:3-4. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And Mark 11:23-24, a very miraculous verse, you probably know it. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up, and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass. So even if it was a mountain, he's saying, believe in your heart, and believe it'll come to pass. He shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive, and it actually is received, it's past tense, them, because it actually happened at the cross. You see, it is past tense. And you shall have them. James 5:14-16. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. If you've got elders, some churches really don't have elders because they don't believe in healing. That's not an elder. This is, elder is somebody who is mature in the ways of the Lord. The ways of the Lord are in the Scriptures. They are our guide, right? Call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. and if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess therefore your sins one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. Matthew 18:19. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. Yes, one will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000, right? So combined faith is powerful. Some people want to be loners, you know, but they don't get the effect that the rest do, because we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Not necessarily the way the worldly church means it, but it's still true. Mark 16:17-18 says, "And these signs shall accompany them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Galatians 3:13-14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Anything that you think is a curse, it's a curse. He already took it, you see. Having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So Jesus bore the curse of sickness, listed in Deuteronomy 28, right? Another point, believe in the authority given to you by Jesus. Matthew 28:18-20 says, "And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." It's the name, not the title. You know, it's the name. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So notice that everything that Jesus commanded the first disciples, he commands us. Some people say it all passed away, but not so according to this. Matthew 10:8. "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." During the plagues, I believe many will die. And the Lord may instruct you to raise individuals from the dead. If so, command it done with boldness, and do not be double-minded. And don't walk by sight, and you'll have success. James 1:5-8. "But if any of you lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting, for he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Hold your mind on the promises of the Word of God. Don't walk by sight. Hold to the promises. Luke 9:1. "And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases." Luke 10:19. "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." So, tell the spirits of sickness, plague, whatever, what you want them to do. You have authority. John 20 and 21. Jesus therefore said to them, "Again, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." Ooh. Matthew 18 and 18. "Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind or forbid on earth shall be bound or forbidden in heaven. And what things soever you shall loose or permit on earth shall be loosed or permitted in heaven." Colossians 1 and 13. "Who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." Just imagine, you are walking in the kingdom of God. Be filled with the Spirit so you can walk in power there and, you know, exercise your authority. Job 22 and 28, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. A light shall shine upon thy ways." Well, another point is confess your salvation from sickness and your authority over it. Confess is the Greek word homologeo, meaning speak the same as. We must speak what God says about us, our salvation from the curse, deliverance from sickness and plague. We must speak it. If you confess you have it, you have it. You have authority. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Romans 10 and 10. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Note that if we look at the examples given in Scripture for saved, the verb, and salvation, the noun, the Greek words are sozo and soteria. And we realize that this is used for physical healing, saving from difficult situations, and deliverance from demons of infirmity. Jesus saved us, spirit, soul, and body, as He and His disciples demonstrated. Hebrews 3 and 1. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, even Jesus." Jesus offers our confession before the Father and the angels, that we may receive the benefits of the kingdom. So give a good confession. Don't confess all the things that the curse has passed on to you. Confess that Jesus already took that curse. Hebrews 4 and 14. "Having then a great high priest who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." There it is. Matthew 10 and 32, "Everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven." The devil tries to get you to confess what you see, hear, and feel. The Bible tells you to confess what God has said. Luke 12 and 8, "And I say unto you, everyone who shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." 1 Timothy 6 and 12, "Fight the good fight of the faith, lay hold on life eternal, whereunto thou wast called, and didst confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses." The devil will tell you, well, if you confess it before them, they're going to throw it back in your face, and they're going, blah, 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 blah. You know, don't pay attention to that. Confess before men. God will honor it. Hebrews 10 and 23. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised." Hebrews 13 and 15. "Through him, then, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of the lips, which makes confession to his name." So some songs, you know, some praise songs, they confess the negative Just confess what God said. And the word for name, of course, here is in the Greek is nature, character, and authority. Acts 3 and 6. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, that I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Well, the disciples commanded healing because it was already given by the sacrificial stripes of Jesus. They didn't stop and pray to God to heal this person. You can do all that before you go to this person, but when you go to somebody to administer the word of God, then you command healing because it's already been given. Health is given by God and may be declared before sickness comes for immunity. Remember that. Exodus 15 and 26. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, which we're seeing already today, right? And will do that which is right in his eyes, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh my gosh, there it is, immunity. Exodus 12 and 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and there shall no plague be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Psalm 91, 1 through 16, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, this is, of course, abiding in Christ, through faith in his sacrifice for your sins and sicknesses, right? Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why, they're all going to be on the ground, right? For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. How do you do that? For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, and they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent shalt thou trample under foot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Well, we study the Word of God, and we boldly confess what the Lord has given unto us in his promises, because the protection that he gives us every day from the curses of this world is just incredible. And like the wonderful promises in Psalm 91, just enjoy God's word. Look again at Psalm 91 and 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. So what an awesome promise. Of course, It's a promise to those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And we know that those who are dwelling in the secret place are abiding in Christ. And if you sin, just confess your sins and believe it and be devoted to God. He is, of course, the secret place of the Most High. As in Psalm 90:1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. There it is. And John said in 1 John 2:24, as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, not necessarily what you heard from your apostate church here, but what you heard from the beginning, right? You also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. There you are. You're in the secret place. Let that which you heard from the beginning abide in you. So abiding in Christ is having that in you which you heard from the beginning. It doesn't matter that we've absorbed the teachings of our religion. We have to absorb the teachings of the Word of God. If we want His provision in the days to come, we have to remember the promises He's given us in the Word of God. If your church doesn't study those promises, that's not a church. So when we read 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee, we can see it's a perfect type of a Passover being fulfilled. Exodus 15:26, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his eyes, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee, which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So you can claim that, even when it's all around you, and the devil's saying, look, you're going to catch it because he coughed in your face. No, it doesn't happen that way. You know, God is in control, and actually he's given you control by this verse. Well, he is not only the Lord that healeth thee, but he is the Lord that vaccinates you. He is the Lord that inoculates you. Contrary to popular opinion, the Lord is in control of all plagues, all diseases, and so on. He has ultimate authority. He may use vessels of dishonor, such as the devil and the spirits of infirmity, to chasten people and to bring them to repentance so that they can have God's blessings. But it's still the Lord, and it's still his purpose that is fulfilled. He, in Ephesians 1:11, says, worketh all things after the counsel of his will. And in Daniel 4:35, none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? John the Baptist said in John 3:27, a man can receive nothing except it have been given him from heaven. So we need to believe what the Lord says here. He is the one in charge. I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. The world's cures, as we can see from the vaccines, brings a curse. Cursed is the man that trusts in man. Many people are panicking, trying something here and trying something else over there, wondering what they can do to defend themselves against a curse that God ordained. It's very simple. Don't believe in it. If you're not under it because Jesus bore it, don't believe in it. I tell you that there's nobody who can get rid of a curse that God ordains except God himself. But there are certainly many people who try. Even a lot of the vaccinations and inoculations that man gives just move the curse from one place to another. As we saw, the side effects of their inoculation, of their vaccinations, are deadly. You haven't actually gotten rid of the curse. You've just traded it for something else. Sometimes you haven't even done that. You've just multiplied it. At any rate, once we realize God is in control, then we understand that we need to be separated from Egypt because the Lord has his own vaccination against the curses, his own Passover from the plagues of this world. The Lord told the Israelites for each household to take a lamb and slaughter that lamb, Exodus 12 and 3. And we know that that lamb is Jesus Christ. He is our Passover lamb. 1 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, "Purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. So you have a lamb. Believe it. Wherefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Truth sets you free. Truth is Jesus Christ." John 8 and 31 says, "Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" Jesus Christ has already been sacrificed in order that we may have a Passover. We don't have to literally go and slaughter a lamb for this. We can accept and believe in the lamb who was sacrificed, Jesus Christ. As a type and a shadow, we're told about the Passover in the Old Testament, Exodus 12 and 5. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old." And we know that was Jesus. A year, of course, goes through death, burial, and resurrection, the very nature of that year, right? "You shall take it from the sheep, from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at even. And they shall take of the blood and put it on the two side posts and on the lintel upon the houses wherein they shall eat it." In other words, anything that come into that house has got to pass through the blood, right? "And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread," the pure truth of the Word of God. "With bitter herbs they shall eat it." So, unleavened bread represents the same thing that the lamb does, because Jesus Christ is the Word of God. John 1 and 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And John 6 and 51, "I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Yea, and the bread which I give is my flesh for the life of the world." So the unleavened bread is the Word of God without adding what men usually add to it or take away from it. And many people love to add their ideas in there and make it more palatable for the flesh with leaven, right, to be able to receive it. But unleavened bread doesn't taste like much. But with just a little leaven, it tastes a whole lot better to the flesh. And that's what people do. They want to add something to make it easier on them. No, it already happened. You just need to believe it and speak it. Obviously, the Lord is saying to us, "No, no, I want you to eat unleavened bread." In fact, he instituted 7 days of unleavened bread from this point on until the Israelites had actually left Egypt, which they left in 7 days, right? In type, those last 7 days represent the 7 years of the tribulation period, which are to be days of unleavened bread before leaving this world, as represented by Egypt. God is going to demand in the last 7 days that his people do not touch leaven, and there is a harsh penalty if they do. Leaven would be what men add to make it more palatable for the flesh, right? Exodus 12 and 15, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread, even from the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. It's not the word of God when you add to it and take away from it. It's not. So that is a dire threat from God. He's saying, okay, you have one more chance, and this is the end. We don't want anybody sitting on the fence, because the lukewarm are going to be spewed out. Don't accept any leaven. Accept nothing but the true word of God. Depart from your evil ways and your church's evil ways and your false religion and your ideas of prosperity and on and on and on. Depart from everything that you're adding to God's word in order to let the flesh live. You see, when we eat unleavened bread, it's supposed to be a crucifixion to the flesh. The unleavened bread is Jesus Christ, the Lamb, the Word. And he warns us not to add to it the leaven of the Pharisees, which is religion, or the leaven of the Herods, which is government. Mark 8 and 15. Neither one should we trust in. We already have a Savior, and he is Jesus Christ. We're also told to eat the Lamb with bitter herbs, Exodus 12 and 8. In other words, the flesh won't like it. You only want to do what your flesh likes, you're not going to make it. Revelation 10 and 9. And I went unto the angel, saying unto him that he should give me that little book. And he saith unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but in thy mouth it shall be sweet as honey. So it's bitter to the flesh, and it's supposed to be bitter to the flesh. Exodus 12 and 9. Eat not of it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roast with fire. Its head, this is talking about the mind of Christ. Its legs, and this is talking about the walk of Christ. And with the inwards thereof, and this is talking about the heart of Christ. And we are to eat everything that is Christ, all of the Lamb. We reject nothing in the Word, because it's all been given for a Passover, and Jesus is the Word. And this is how we keep the Passover. If you're somebody who's caught up in religion, just going around in religious circles, you need to go get your Bible and read it. Make sure you know what it says, especially all of the New Testament. If you're only getting one or two verses in a sermonette on Sunday, you're not getting enough to protect you or to put to death your old flesh from what's coming. And especially the plagues that are coming down the road, you need to get all of the word down in your heart. Exodus 12 and 10. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. But that which remaineth of it until the morning, you shall burn with fire. What's he mean by that? Well, we will lose what we don't eat. And he's given you a portion every day, the Bible says. Eat it. Make sure you do. And so we won't have a full Passover if we're only eating part of the word, right? A word not acted on is a word forgotten and lost. because it was burned up, right? All right. God bless you, saints, and hope this helped you get you ready for what's coming. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.